All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Wasn't it nice having a great week with some rain? I mean, I thought, we haven't had rain that lasted 4 or 5 days. Usually we get a storm and it blows through in a day. So it's kind of nice having that rain. I tell people, I like it when it rains because it smells so nice. And I like it when it's warm because you can just kind of enjoy the warmth. And, you know, whatever season it is, it's really good. You know, isn't God good? You guys joined me this morning. I was really worried about being really rainy. I thought the news said it was going to really rain. And I was afraid, well, no, hardly anybody would come when it rains. You guys made out of sugar, you'll melt when you get in the rain. You know, I just kind of wasn't sure what to expect. But I'm glad you're here and thanks for joining. And several weeks ago, I began this series on healing for damaged emotions. My thought was as I began and wanted to deal with this issue because there's this stigma about emotion and about emotional wellness. Now, if I get physically sick, I'll go to the doctor. If I get the stomach flu, now, when I get the stomach flu, I am sick. My son-in-law was staying with us one time when I had the stomach flu. He left the house, okay? Not because I was sick, but because I was sick. All right? He wouldn't even stay in the house. I want to go to the doctor. When I get the stomach flu, I want to go to the doctor immediately. I want them to put an IV in my arm, and I want me to give him that Finnegan, whatever it is, all right? Pump that into me, because you can just feel the coolness going up your arm, and you just start feeling better, you know, and my stomach settles down. I can't deal with the stomach flu very well, you know. I have high blood pressure, and I take a pill. But yet, when we talk about our mental challenges, we talk about those emotional challenges, there's this stigma we attach to it. Well, go see a counselor, and it's like, I don't need no counselor. But if I'm really sick, go see a doctor. Break my leg, go see a doctor. But those emotional things, we kind of have this stigma. And then when we say, well, maybe you need some medicine, well, you know, that's a whole nother level. You know, and so we have this stigma about that emotional wellness. And I thought we needed to address it. And like I said, when I began this series, what was so amazing to me was how many emails I was getting from different sources that there's a stigma about it. And then I said his word here. It says this. Let me get your outline out. You want to follow along. John 10:10 has kind of been an over-encompassing verse. It says this. The thief comes, the thief being the Satan, being the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But I, Jesus, came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now in America, that abundant life looks like a home, a car, money in the bank, a nice job. We look at abundant life in America as the American dream. But you can have all that American dream and still not have an abundant life. So I've thrown out three words through this series: love, joy, and peace, part of the fruit of the Spirit. If I want an abundant life, I want to have a love. I want to feel like I belong. I want to belong. I want to feel loved. I want a joy. I want a happiness. You know, I want to have peace. Life's not always going to be pleasant. Life's going to have its ups and downs, and I want a peace. So those are emotional element to that life, to our lives. But sometimes we have this stigma to it. When we're hurt, when we're wounded, when there's anxiety, when there's stress, when there's depression, we kind of push off. And last week, we began to talk about it from the perspective of this super you. If you weren't with us last week, we talked about perfection. And we want to create this super you because I want to be loved. I can't let you know the real me. Because if you know the real me and all my failures and all my faults and all my hang-ups, if you know the real me, you won't love me. You won't appreciate me. If you know the real me, so we create this super you. So that, here's what I want to present to everybody. I'm Gary the Great, pastor of Centerbrook First Baptist Church. And we want to present this for you. This is who I am. And you love me because this is who I am. But behind that, there's this real you. That wounded part. That hurt part. You know? And then, you know, and so we create this. And last week we talked about perfection. This morning I want to talk about one of those things that almost the super you always says is bad. And I'm sure none of you ever have anger. Anybody here ever get angry? You know, Christians don't get angry, right? You know, we're Christians. Get along with everybody. We got to love everybody. we don't get hurt. We got to be hit, thick-skinned, and you can't get angry. And then somebody may read a verse like this, Matthew 5:22. Look what it says. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. You can't get angry. So we create this super you. And then we get a good religious word. All right, I get my super you, and I don't get angry. Righteous indignation. Come on, am I right? We don't get angry. We can't. So we create this super you called righteous indignation, and we put this image out there. That this is who I am now, and this, I can't be real because you can't know me, because if you do, you're not going to love me, you're not going to appreciate me, you're not going to want to be around me. And so we create this image. And then we see this verse, and it's like, what do we do? How do we deal with it? And so when we do get angry, when we do get upset, when we do get those heated discussions. Anybody have those heated discussions? I'm not mad. We're just having a heated discussion. And we do that. So I gave you about, is there five ways here that we usually handle anger? Five ways that we usually do it. We repress it is the first one I put here. That means we deny. Now, have you ever sat in the car? Now, maybe I can say this from me. You sit in the car, your spouse is next to you, and there's silent treatment going on. Now, some of you are laughing because, and there's silent treatment going on, and so your spouse looks at you and goes, are you angry? Are you upset? They look at you, and you go, what? No! No, I'm not mad. Inside, you're just steam coming out of the ears. See, we repress anger. We deny it. Or maybe we don't deny it and we repress it. How about we suppress it? We know it's there. We just hide it. We try to internalize it. It's just like, it's just my burden I got to carry. I'm married to him. It's just something I got to deal with. And so we suppress it. And we just kind of, we just bury it deep inside and it just stirs around in us. Or you explode. All right? You get angry and it's just spew everywhere. There's this volcano going off. And it's just on everybody. Doesn't matter if you were it or not, And it just explodes. There's rage. There's an outburst. It's just all over you. Or maybe you might simmer. You just stew. You got this pressure cooking going on. And what's bad is when you put the pressure cooker, the simmer, and the explode together, what do you get? It's just a matter of time. You're waiting for it to blow up. You've been married. Anybody been married for a while? You know what I'm talking about? You know it's in there. And it's like, when's it going to happen? And you just simmer in your pressure cooker. Or you excuse it. You just make excuses. I used to say this. Now, this is not politically correct. I'm saying this right now. I am not politically correct. But I used to say something like this when I would get angry. I'm part Indian. That's just the Indian coming out. Come on now. Like I say, I'm not pulling. I would say things like, that's just, We excuse it. We make excuses for it. And we blame. Well, then God just made me this way. And we lay it at God's feet and we do this. But I'm going to tell you, if you do that long enough, if you do one of the, now you, just so you know, Mark's there. Just so you can check the ones you do. That's why I put the checkbox there. And if yours ends up looking like mine, guess what? I checked them all, okay? How do we deal with this? Because if we don't, just so you know, if you don't deal with your anger, it's going to become self-destructive. Don't worry about somebody else. It's going to destroy you. If you do any of these with anger, It's going to destroy you. It's going to be self-destructive. You're going to hinder your relationship with God. You know, you're mad. You're angry. I don't want to talk to God when I'm mad. Anybody want to talk to God when you're mad? I don't want anything to do with God when I'm mad. And this is going to, what about relationship with others when you're, I don't want to talk to my wife. Matter of fact, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I'm so mad. Anybody ever do anything like that? And this anger just keeps going, and what it does, and then all of a sudden it creates this negative attitude. Nothing's right. Nothing's ever right. And you just create this negative spirit in yourself. And then that negative spirit, guess what? Who wants to be around a negative person all the time? Who wants to be around an angry person all the time? So all of a sudden you feel isolated. And you don't want anything to do with anybody. And then you can't focus. Have you ever been so mad you can't get anything done? You can't focus? And then let's not forget about the physical thing. I don't know about you, but when you get mad, your face turns red. What happens with your blood pressure? See, we get angry. But as Christians, it's righteous indignation. I'm not angry. We try to put these religious terms on it. We try to do this. Look at what it says again. Psalms 4:4. When you are angry, why don't you circle when? You know, it didn't say if you're angry, did it? It's when. Now, I can tell you when I'm going to get angry. I pretty much guarantee when I'm going to get angry. Put me behind the steering wheel of a car. And I can pretty much guarantee you at some point, somebody's going to do something good, dumb, and I'm going to get angry. You know, when, it's a matter of when. So I need to do something. So when you're going to get angry, do not sin. Here's what it's saying. You can get angry, but anger doesn't have to lead to sin. I don't have to have this super you where I can't get mad. I can't get angry. I can get angry. That doesn't lead to sin, resentment, bitterness, revenge. I like that one. You know, that guy that pulls in front of you going slow, you want to pull in front of him and get in front of him and step on your brakes, right? Come on. Revenge. Think about these things quietly as you go to bed. Make peace. Deal with it. See, we need to learn to deal with it. What I want to concentrate on this morning is this. We need to acknowledge it, confront it, and resolve it. Okay? We can't hide behind, I'm Christian and I can't get angry. I will get angry. Things will upset me. I don't know about you, but right now this election garbage has upset me. I have not read the news for months now because I just got tired of the garbage going on. Now I'm going to vote, all right? Guaranteed you that. I will vote. I have not missed an election since I was 18 years old. I will vote, but I'm not going to be a happy voter, okay? We get angry and we push back, but I acknowledge it, and then I need to confront it in the right way. And then I need to resolve it. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. But I want to begin with some pictures from God's Word. I think a good one to start with is with Jesus. You think Jesus ever got angry? Now, some of you know your Bible. You know the answer to that one, right? There's this, they had their religious holiday called the Passover. It was a mature religious event. People from all over the world would journey to Jerusalem for the Passover. They'd come from Rome, from Spain. They'd come from Nebuchadnezzar's area. And they'd come all the way to Egypt. They'd come from everywhere to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Passover is when they came to the temple to find forgiveness. Like we go to the cross. See, our forgiveness comes from the cross, okay? They went to the temple, the Day of Atonement. They would come to the temple and bring their sacrifice and bring their offerings to the temple. So people would come from all over the world to the temple. So Jesus is going to the temple on the Passover. And as he goes to the temple, he goes in, kind of looks around the first day, and then he goes out back to Bethany, spends the night at Bethany. And when he went in the first day, he kind of made some observations. They had a flea market going on inside the temple courtyard. Anybody know what a flea market is? Everybody know what a flea market is? They had a flea market going on inside the courtyard. They're bringing their sheep, their doves, and they're going to bring their offering. It's supposed to be unblemished. And so when you bring your sheep, your offering, you'd bring it to the priest. He would inspect that sheep to make sure it was an unblemished and worthy of sacrifice. And unfortunately, it never was. So you'd have to buy one of theirs. Right? You know, it's like, well, that one's not quite right. You're going to have to get one over there. You know, and they'd get a kickback from the seller of sheep. They'd offering, and they'd come from Rome, and they'd have Roman coins with Caesar's image on it. Well, we can't have Caesar's image in the temple. So you got to go to the money changers over there and exchange your money for just a slight fee. We'll exchange your money for the right money. And so they got this flea market going on inside this temple courtyard. And they're bringing all this to the temple. And Jesus had been there and he's seen this. Look at what happens here. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Think Jesus was a little upset? Think Jesus was a little angry? Look what you did to my temple. You're abusing the people. You're taking advantage of the people. You're not doing what it was to do. And he said these things. So I have three things I took out of what Jesus did here to kind of give us an idea of how to handle. He confronted a hardness of heart and injustice. It was unjust. They were being unjust. They were using and abusing the people. They had a hardness of heart. They weren't there for the sacrifices. They weren't there to meet the people's need, to stand between the people and God. That's what a priest did. He stood between the people and God. He'd take the people to God and God's message to the people. And they had a hardness of heart, and they were unjust to the people, and Jesus got upset, and Jesus seen this abuse, and he wasn't offended. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his wounds and his abuse. It was nothing about all that. It was about the injustices and the hardness of heart. The second thing I noticed, I looked at what Jesus did. He was not out of control. Now, I don't know about this is one that's hard for me, all right? It's easy to get out of control when you get angry. He wasn't out of control. It was no rage. There was no outburst. He had went to the temple the day before. He had went back, probably spent some time praying, time contemplating what to do. Then he went back there in a controlled manner. I don't know how controlled can you be tipping over chairs and throwing things around, but he did. All right. I like one of the things he made a whip. I like the one that talks about him in one of the Gospels. You know, but it was controlled. There was no outburst. You notice what it said? Did he touch anybody? Did he hit anybody? It said he tipped over the tables. He moved the chairs. Never touched a person. It was controlled. You know, there was a situation there. And the last one I put down here, his anger was tempered in a sense of grief and distress. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer. The church is supposed to be a place where the people come and find comfort, find peace, find renewal, find a place where they meet God and commune with God. See, I see this picture of Jesus coming and sitting in this place. He was angry, and he didn't sin. That's pretty challenging. But it's Jesus, right? That's Jesus. Jesus could do that. I'm not Jesus, right? So guess what? I can't do that. No. I tell you, the other two guys named Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas was an encourager. Paul was one out killing Christians and became a believer and began serving God. And Barnabas brought him in and was encouraging him. Him and Barnabas and Paul went out and planted churches all over Galatia. They went on a missionary journey, planting churches, working and serving God, and being a part of what God was doing in that time. And doing great work for God. A partner, a team, serving God. Well, they had a meeting. They came back to Antioch, the home-based church, and then there's some just going on in Jerusalem, so they go down to Jerusalem. You can read Acts 15. They're having some discussions about who can believe and how do they believe, and they're carrying on all these discussions. And then after the discussions, Paul and Barnabas decide, well, you know what? We need to go out and check on these churches. We need to go out and make sure these believers have some help, that they're growing, that if they have any needs, what can we do? How can we help them? So Paul and Barnabas decide they're going to get together and go out and visit these churches. So they start making a list. Here's what we need. We're going to need this, and we're going to need this, and here's where we're going to go. And then they start talking about who they're going to take with them. And a name pops up, a name, John Mark. Now, John Mark had joined them on their first missionary journey. John Mark was a younger man. Paul and Barnabas were probably in their late 30s. John Mark probably in his 20s. And John Mark joins them on that first missionary journey. And there wasn't much religious tolerance back then. You complain about it today, it's nothing like that. Paul and Barnabas, they got whipped, they got beaten, they got thrown in jail. In America, I don't think we have to worry too much about that at this point. You know? But there wasn't any religious tolerance going on for them. And so they were beaten and whipped and thrown in jail. And here's this 20-year-old kid, and it's like, I don't know if I can handle this. And he takes off. So Barnabas says, we're getting ready to do this journey again, and I want to take John Mark. And Paul goes, I ain't snotty-nosed kid. He can't hang with us. He bailed on us. He can't be there with us. And he doesn't want to take John Mark. So here's what happened here, Acts chapter 15, verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement. Don't you like the way they said that? A sharp disagreement. We just had a vocal discussion. A sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commanded by the believers to the grace of the Lord. That disagreement, that dispute, that argument, you know, I don't know how much anger was there, I don't know, but it was a sharp dispute. They weren't getting along. There was a problem in the relationship, and they split. Barnabas and John go out to visit churches. Paul and Silas go out to start other churches and go in a different direction. And they split. You know, we don't learn much from that about the situation. I want to read on in some other passage. You know, you got to take the Bible as a whole. Listen, never read a passage by itself, okay? The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. You got to pull it all together. You know, I always like this. You know what? I can tell you God's a sinner, okay? Jealousy is a sin, right? The Bible said God was, or God is a. Is that true? Verse out of context, you can say all sorts of crazy things. All right? Just be aware of that. When I'm preaching, make sure it fits the whole of the Bible and not just part of it. Check on me. I'm willing to be checked. You know? It's okay. So as we read on, here's what it says. Barnabas goes on his missionary journey, and Paul's on his missionary journey. And Paul's over in Corinth, and there's a going on in Corinth. Should we pay missionaries? Should we pay those who are serving God? Should we give an offering and support those who are out starting churches and preaching the gospel? Should we support them? So there's this debate going on in the church. And Paul writes this to the church in Corinth as they're debating it. And here's what he says. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? He's still in contact with Barnabas. Him and Barnabas are still friends. Him and Barnabas are still partners. He knows what's going on in Barnabas' life. He knows Barnabas is out there working. Barnabas is out there supporting himself. Paul was a tent maker and supported himself. And so he's saying, listen, Barnabas is my partner. There's no resentment. There's no animosity. There's no bitterness. There's none of that going on in their relationship. He's still a partner, just parted ways. They didn't part one another. What about John Mark? Look what it says about John Mark. Paul's sitting in jail. sitting in jail for the last and final time, probably facing death. This 2 Timothy is the last book written that Paul wrote. He's in Rome, in jail, facing pretty much certain death. All right, and listen to what he writes. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Did he have any animosity towards Mark? Now, did Mark have any animosity towards him? No. There was no resentment, no revenge, no bitterness. These guys had worked. And so I looked at the same way. I looked again, just like Jesus. They confronted and exposed the hardness of heart and injustice. Same thing Jesus did. John Mark, I'm going to show up on the screen in just a minute. But they did the same thing Jesus did. Barnabas is saying, Paul, you have a hardness of heart against John Mark. He's a young man. He's just getting, give him a chance. Your heart's not right with John Mark. You need to deal with it. Barnabas confronted him. Face the fact. There's something going on that's not right. You're being unjust and unjust to this young man. And I'm sure Paul is sitting there saying, he's just not mature enough yet. He's not quite ready yet. And they're having this debate. But it was a hardness of heart. I put this other one. There was no outburst out of control. There was no rage, no outburst. Nobody was angry. It's just like John and Paul and Silas take off one way. Barnabas and Mark jump in a boat, go another way. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. We just had to deal with it this way. And they go on, no outburst, no out of control, no revenge, no anger, no bitterness. And the last one, their anger was tempered by a sense of grief and distress. You can see he writes, yeah, I like that last verse with Mark. Mark had grown up. Mark had become a very good man. Mark had become a good leader. God's work had grown. More leaders, more churches started. God used something that was not good, anger, used in a positive way to build more leaders, to start more churches. And we see this picture. So I wanted, how do we handle our... How do we deal with things when we get upset? Somebody hurt us. Somebody wounded us. There's injustice. There's a hardness of heart. Somebody's just mean. Anybody been somebody who's just mean? It seems like they got a giftedness of being mean. What do we do with these? How do we deal with these situations? So I want to make sure you've seen that. It's okay to get angry. Jesus was angry. Paul and Barnabas were angry. Church leaders were angry, upset, struggling with things in life. But it's how you handle it that makes a difference. So here's what I'm going to say. Be angry and don't sin. Be angry and don't sin. It's real simple. I like this. Look at Ephesians 4:26. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about Psalms, what was written in Psalms. Because, you know, here's what Paul did. Listen to what it says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, does that sound like what the Psalm said when it wrote this in the Psalms? When you are angry, do not sin. Think about these things quietly as you go to bed. Paul just quoting the Old Testament in a new way. Don't let the sun go down on you. Don't run to it. Don't nurture it. Don't cling to it. Yeah. We're going to repress it, suppress it. We're going to explode. We're going to simmer. We're going to make excuses. And Paul says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let anger get the best of you. Because let me tell you, when you get angry, it will steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your... Do that. Anybody? How many could testify that that's true? I remember I had a brand new car. Brand new car. Laura and I bought a brand new car. We're traveling from Riverside. We're in college, and we're traveling from Riverside up to Sacramento, coming down Highway 5, coming right here at the 580 interchange right there when the kind of roads all split up there at 580. And the fan belt breaks. I get out, and guess what I do? I kick the car. Dumb stinking. Anger. What do we, you know, we're going to get angry. But don't sin. It didn't hurt the car. It hurt my, okay? Yeah. That's usually what anger does, isn't it? Anger doesn't hurt anybody else. It hurts us. It's that self-destructive. You know, broken relationship with God, broken relationship with others, crippled, negative. You can't focus. It destroys us. And that's what Satan wants. And so Paul went on, as he wrote there in that Ephesians, look at what he says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. See, be angry, don't sin. Get rid of this stuff along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ gave you. We need to be healed from our anger. It's going to happen. Things are going to upset us. I'm going to say it this way. Things are going to upset you. Maybe today. The waitress is slow. The food is cold. The driver's a moron in front of you. Your wife didn't listen. Husband's being a jerk. You're going to get angry. Something's going to push your button. Anybody got a button to get pushed? You know what's funny? Your spouse knows that button well, don't they? Anybody that's been married for a while, they know how to push your button. And we go through all this. So here's what I want to say real quick. Let me go through this. We need to express it honestly. I need to be honest. I got to drop that super you, and here's the real. I got to drop this image that I want you to love me so you really can't know me. I need to be honest. I'm angry. Just so you know, when you're sitting there giving the silent treatment, your spouse knows you're angry. Just if you didn't know that. You can deny it all you want, but they know. You know? You need to be honest with yourself. I am angry. I'm upset. I wasn't happy because da-da-da. And why? Why? Why am I angry? Is it because I'm offended? A hurt, a wound, those are real. And it's a good reason to get angry sometimes. But I got news for you. I'll pop your bubble. Life ain't anyway. You know, I think we still live like Newton. You know, the world centers around me. We're like two-year-olds, right? Come on, two-year-olds. Everything's around a two-year-old, you know? And we never grow up. I got news for you. If you're going to live long enough, somebody's going to offend you. Hopefully it's not me. That I probably at some point. So we got to figure this out. You know, I got to just be honest with myself. Is there an injustice? Is there a hardness in my heart? Is it a hardness in somebody else? You know, some people can't change. The thing I think I really get upset in our world today, what bugs me, one of the things that bugs me in our world today, is I don't think people understand. Some people like being mean. You know, some people like being evil. You know? And they're not going to, you know, why get angry with them? Because they're stupid. No, I can't say that. You know? See, you know? So be honest. Just be honest with yourself. Don't put this super you on. I'm angry. But then why? Why am I angry? Is it a hardness of heart? An injustice? I think those are two good words. To me, I want to be, I'm going to tell you, I want to be angry at the racial situation in America. Anybody? Angry about that. I want to be angry. I want to be angry about our political system. You know? I don't know who to vote for. I'm angry. Injustice, man, it's unjust. With ourselves. Second thing I put down here is resolve it promptly. Don't simmer. You know, don't deny. Don't repress, suppress. You know, promptly get rid of, you know, before the sun goes down. Listen, the longer you hang on to it, the more you're going to excuse it. Am I right? The more you hang on to that anger, the more you find reasons to be angry. You know, you just start piling on the reasons. I'm mad at Laura because, and then later the day, it's because of this now, and it's because of this, and she just keeps doing more, right? We just keep piling on. So you got to deal with it promptly. You know, I like that. Don't go to bed mad. When I counsel married couples, I always say, don't go to bed mad. The last one I put, finish it completely. Put it behind you. Get rid of it. It's over. It's done. Make peace with it. And completely. God, you've forgiven me. I'm going to forgive others. Just as you forgive me, I forgive. You know, if somebody's involved, forgive yourself. You know, sometimes we've got to forgive ourselves when we get angry. So we need. So my challenge is this. You're going to get angry this week. I don't think that's a great insight. I don't know. Is anybody here perfect? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah, I got a little perfect girl. When you're 5 years old, you can be perfect, right? Angry. Something is going to happen. So what are you going to do? That's my question for you this morning. How are you going to handle it? You're going to come next week and say, you know what? I went through the week and didn't have one angry time. How are you going to handle it? I'm going to add, just be honest. Just be honest with yourself. I'm angry and this is why I'm angry. I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to deal with it now. And I'm going to deal with it completely, so I dig it up again and do it again. Anybody ever dig up the... You know, bring it back up? You just can't leave it buried? You know, I want to challenge you. I want you to come next week. Not the super you. The real you. Honest. Prompt. And complete. In Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Put it this way in the last verse right there. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Hey, that's a good one to end with. It's a good way to end. So, be angry and sin not. Let's pray. Lord, I thank your words and your truths, that you understand our hearts, that we can't be perfect, that we all have faults and failures, we all have hurts and wounds, we all wrestle with anxiety and depression. And Lord, these things steal our joy and kill our peace and destroy our lives. Lord, we want that abundant life Jesus spoke of. We want a life of love, joy, and a peace that passes all understanding. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're battling some anger that you just can't seem to shake. That maybe you've repressed it, suppressed it. Maybe you're making excuses about it. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a situation. And you want me to pray for you that God will give you the ability to be honest and to quickly, promptly, deal with it and completely put it behind you. Would you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Just shoot your thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, you hands of those who wrestle with anger. There's a situation or a circumstance, Lord, that they just can't seem to shake. So I'm going to ask this morning that your Holy Spirit step into their heart in a special way. The Spirit that brings fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. The Spirit that can bring healing. So Lord, we honestly come to you saying that we are angry. There's a hardness of heart, or there's an injustice, there's a wound, there's a hurt. And Lord, we acknowledge it. So help us deal with it today, promptly, completely, Lord, that we can find a freshness and a joy and a peace that only God can bring. So I ask you to touch their hearts in a special way this morning. Guide their words, guide their thoughts. Set them free from the schemes of the devil who wants to steal their joy, kill their peace, and destroy their life. In Jesus' name, amen.